We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.
Welcome to the 510 Huddle Podcast. It's your boy, Coach D-Lane, in the building with my guy, my brother, Keaton McCoy. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well, brother, and how are you doing this morning?
Can't complain, man. You know me, I'm a coffee guy. Got my coffee, I'm up, I'm ready to go. It's week three, baby.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
Let's dive right into it, man. So we actually ended off last week's pod, our last pod, with two new segments. We got another two new segments for you today. And we actually going to start the pod off with one of those new segments.
Yes, sir.
Give me that headline. Just, you know, good new segment, another way for us to get through these games a little bit quicker and give you a little bit of detail behind these games. So we got about six, seven games for this weekend's Sunday slate we want to discuss. And we're going to go from here, brother. All right? I'm going to give you a game, and you give me the headline for that game, and we'll go from there. All right? Let's start here. Las Vegas Raiders at Tennessee. What's that headline?
The headline for this is goodbye, King Henry. Ultimately, for this game, I love Derrick Henry. I don't know what the hell they were – I don't know what they were running against the Bills. He is not a toss sweep guy. He is a power eye back that needs to run north-south. If he can't go forward, he's not the same guy. That's why with my running back rankings and same with yours, I would say he's not rated number one by us, no matter what he did the last few years. And also, ultimately, just getting rid of A.J. Brown, that is really going to set that offense back. Robert Woods is a very good player. Traylon Burks, he has talent. He's just a young guy, and like the things they're going to ask him to do, that's not necessarily his forte. And that defense, that secondary right now, they're still a work in progress. And Jeffrey Simmons is still a dude, but ultimately, I do think the Raiders are going to come out. And it's going to be a close game, but I do think the Davante Adams is going to be a focal point for this game. And after what I saw from Caleb Farley, unfortunately for him, with all of his injuries, he's not the same guy right now. So I do think the Raiders are going to win a close, hard-fought game. And that'll kind of be the beginning of the end for the Tennessee Titans and also Derrick Henry. Ultimately,
yeah, I love that headline. Just real quick for me to touch on this, and we'll talk about it in a minute. We're supposed to actually start with Thursday night football recap. We could touch on that after these games real quick, but I just wanted to say one thing, brother. I think Nick Chubb may be the best pure runner in football right now. I love the way Nick Chubb runs the football. Yeah. And loving the way he run the football since Georgia. You know, his thing just always been injuries. But right now, I think he's the only back to start his career off with the first five seasons or four seasons with at least over 5 yards per carry. And I showed a stat last night. It's funny, man. Zeke's yards per game and per carry has gone down every year. This guy, Nick Chubb shit is going up, bro. It's crazy. But yeah,
that's why I rated him one.
Yeah, I just had a minute. And now I see why. I'm not mad at you at all, bro. His jump cut is nasty. He runs behind his pads. He probably has the best body lean from a running back in the NFL. So we'll talk about Thursday Night Football in a minute. Let's get back to this Raiders-Tennessee game. I love that headline, brother. If the Raiders' defense was a little more stout, I would agree with it even more. I agree with that headline for as far as last week. How the game turned out for Tennessee, because I was looking at that Tennessee Buffalo game saying the same thing, brother, as far as what's going on with King Henry. And I know one thing that defenses try to do with King Henry, because like you said, he's a north-south runner. The Buffalo Bills did a good job of this last week, making his feet stop at the line of scrimmage as far as not letting him get that head of steam to get north and south, right, making his feet chatter or stop at the line of scrimmage and make him redirect. That's what you want to do. They did a good job of that. I don't know if the Las Vegas Raiders defense is stout enough to hold up in a run game and be responsible and play have gap integrity to stop King Henry. That's another reason why, like you said at the end, I think it should be a close game. I know we spoke about this off camera. I believe Vegas should win because they are in a little more of a dire situation. They cannot start off 0-3. They already lost a division game. They're in the hardest division, arguably, in the NFL. I just can't see them losing this game. And if they do, whew, it's going to be a lot of heads turning and looking crazy at Josh McDaniels. Me and you both said and agreed that we believe Tennessee just has a little more of a cushion given their division and how shitty that is. Because, Jacksonville has action at winning that division. And whoever wins that division, I think is going to win it with – they could possibly get in at 7-10, man, possibly. Yeah, so –
Yes, sir. All right.
So, next game. Let's move on to the Bay Area team, man. Give me the headline. San Francisco at Denver Broncos.
This one's easy for me. Is Russ gets cooked. Ultimately, I think the 49ers go in and beat the living crap out of the Broncos. The Broncos, they have talent, obviously. However, the situational football is a big question mark. And I'm going to be consistent with this. I keep telling you this. Russ has lost a little bit in terms of his elusiveness, his mobility, and his willingness to run and move. And that takes away from his game. Not that he's always been this pure running quarterback, but being able to move and find passing lanes at his height, that matters. And he wants to stick in the pocket. And I'm sorry. I know everyone, they like to say that like size and all this stuff doesn't matter. It does. The taller you are, the bigger you are, the more it helps, the better you can see. And he's not seeing the whole field well right
and
now.
I wanted to pose that quick question to you real quick, brother, because I see a lot of people, you know, discussing his running ability and him staying in the pocket and how he used to be able to run and escape the pocket. You just said a minute ago, you know, it's a factor of that height, and he needs to be able to, you know, move or a little bit just to get be mobile a little bit to get out the pocket and have different and see different passing lanes. But I wanted to ask you, as far as with Russ' game, and you just said this, as far as, is it that Russ is just not seeing the field well right now and processing and getting through his reads quickly? Because when I watch Russ' game, as far as from the pocket and his arm talent, he's on par with the Drew Brees as far as height and size, right? I don't see a guy that's inaccurate, that can't stand in the pocket and deliver the football as a pocket QB. So what is it with Russ? Is it that – because like I said, he's not pinpoint accurate like Drew Brees. I think he's the all-time leader in completion percentage. But he's a pretty accurate guy that can stand in the pocket and throw the deep ball. So I'm saying Russ can play from the pocket. I'm basically asking you, what's going on with Russ right now?
Well, as little as this might sound, Drew Brees is 6 feet tall. Russ is 5'10". And that does matter. And he's also having some trouble finding lanes. Again, Drew is only two inches taller, but that gives him a better opportunity to see. And Drew's lanes are different. It's not by a lot, but it's different. Russ, even though he has better arm talent, he's having trouble just seeing the field. And this is a thing when he was in Seattle. And I'm a diehard Seahawks fan. He's never one to throw the ball over the middle, and that's largely because he could not see. And that's catching up with him now. And the fact that he's having some trouble finding better lanes and getting outside of the pocket, that's just playing into it. Again, Russ is not, and this is not me saying Russ is like falling off of a cliff and he's not a good player anymore. He's still firmly, I would say, top 12 probably. But when you're that size, you've gained some weight to try and withstand the punishment. It's just going to take away just that little bit that made you Russ. Right now, he's Russell Wilson, and like he's not Russ. And that's what I say.
My bad, my stupid. fan on. I just looked up and realized I had it on. Hopefully we good. Anyway, I love that headline as well. Russ gets cooked. That's a good one, brother. Yeah. I believe this is one of our locks of the week, right? We got San Francisco covering 1.5.
Yeah.
I will say this because I do believe there's something going on over there with Russ and that offense and Hackett, the head coach. I've already got on his ass. I'm not going to spend much time doing that right now. We'll discuss him at another time. But I will say, I told you, I believe Denver's defense can keep them in this game, especially with Jimmy G back in. I believe the offense will be humming and be a little more in sync for Kyle and company. But as well, you know what comes with Jimmy G. He's very opportunistic as far as for the defense. He will get that motherfucker up. I love PS2, Patrick Surtain. I love that kid. I think he's a little banged up right now. Hopefully he plays his game. Yeah, and Simmons on the back end. I just believe Denver's defense can possibly keep them in the game just because I haven't seen nothing crazy over the top from San Francisco so far to start the year. But me and you are in agreement here. We both do believe San Francisco should cover and win this football game.
Last point on this game. From what I've heard in like the media, obviously players are feeling for Trey Lance, but a lot of guys in that locker room, I don't know a percentage, but a lot of guys are happy that Jimmy is back in there. So I do think they're going to come out with more confidence, and you'll see that little extra oomph when they play.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that 1,000%. Let's move on to another game, brother. The L.A. Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the headline.
Well, honestly, this one is kind of a little bit of heart, but dirty birds fly. I think the Cardinals aren't going to pull off the upset. The Rams are a better team, I think. But it's early on in the year. Kyler Murray is healthy. And the Rams, just dating back to last year, they always, no matter how good they are playing, they always do one or two things that keeps the other team in the game. And as we just saw last week, Kyler Murray is different. So if you give him extra opportunities, no matter how they come, I do believe, especially because he's healthy right now, he's going to take advantage of it. So even if the Cardinals don't win, they'll definitely give the Rams a scare. But I'm picking the Cardinals.
Picking the Cardinals to win or to cover is 3.5 right now.
Rams. I'm picking them to win.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know about that one, brother. I feel like Sean McVay and company already laid their egg in week 1 against the Bills. I've seen enough from AZ. Yeah, they just pulled a magic trick out their ass last week versus the Raiders. But a lot of things had to go right for that magic trick to work, including McDaniels not calling it a good game in the second half and the Raiders' defense falling completely apart. I don't really see that with the Rams, not this week against AZ. I actually got the Rams covering. I like the Rams to win and to cover at AZ. I believe the Rams O-line, we all know it's questionable, real shaky, right? But AZ still has they generate no pressure whatsoever up front. So I believe Matt Stafford and company will be able to flow and get humming on the offensive side of the football. I expect a big game from Cooper Kupp as well. So yeah, I got the Rams winning that game, brother.
You are likely right. And like I said, this is partially heart. I just think early on in the year, Kyler being Kyler and what the Rams typically do, if you give a quarterback like him extra opportunities, they'll usually make you pay. So that's kind of where I'm leaning with that. But that's all that I have on this game.
Got you. Give me that headline. Bucks at home versus Green Bay.
This one is very, very corny. And this will be a little bit confusing for some, but a Gouda day in Tampa. For those who don't know, Gouda is a type of cheese. And I do think that the cheeseheads are going to go in there and they're going to pull off a minor upset. And I've been wanting to pick the Bucks. I have no real logical reasoning to pick Green Bay, except for I think they're slightly healthier. Like my gut and everything tells me that Tom is going to just find some way to win. And that defense is just going to generate pressure and maybe generate some turnovers. But the Packers are just healthier, and I think this is a big, big game for them. I know they usually lose games like this, but this is a big, big game for them. This is a real opportunity for them to make a statement. And I'm going to lean on Rodgers to get them in and out of the right play, especially what I saw with their running game last week. I know it's the Bears, and it's very hard to run on the Bucks, but I just have this weird feeling that the Packers are going to win. Just and also because the Packers' defense is similar to the Saints, so I do think they will give Tampa some issues for sure.
I love this game. I think me and you wanted to add this to our ticket, right? Our Blazing Five, but we kind of stayed away from it.
Yeah,
I'm leaning Green Bay as well. It's -1.5 or -1.5 Bucks right now. That's what the line spread line is. I'm just scared to bet against Tom, man. I believe Green Bay is the healthier team, like you said. No, yeah, Mike Evans, sure. He's suspended for this game. No Julio, possibly, and no Gage, possibly Russell Gage for Tom as well. Godwin's out with an injury. I know they just brought in Beasley. I like Mike Beasley or Cole Beasley, but I'm not sure if he had enough time to pick up the playbook and really make an impact this week for Tom. We'll see.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The overlook's kind of sweet here, too. I mean, I know Tom and company has struggled to generate a little pressure, but it's just 41.5, so it ain't too bad. But I do love the Bucks defense. Brother, this game, Bucks versus Green Bay, maybe my match. I got to look at the other slate of games and matchups, but I think this is my matchup of the week. And it's not even more so for the quarterbacks. I want to see that Green Bay's running game with that dual threat monster attack and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I want to see them versus the Bucks elite linebacker play. And Levante David and Devin White, seeing if they can cover those guys in space, tackle those guys in space. Man, that I think that's the matchup of the week, and that's where the game will be won at the end of the day. How does LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers utilize, out-leverage, and take advantage of the linebackers and to create some type of mismatch to help the Packers move the ball up and down the field? So that's my matchup of the week. I cannot wait to see that game.
I don't disagree. Matchup of the week. I think that's fair, ultimately. But that's all I have on this game.
Got you. Let's move. We got two more real quick for a headline. Excuse me. Philly at Washington. My Eagles. Give me that headline, brother.
It's going to be an illegal hurting. Philly's just going to whoop like Washington, I think. I think the Eagles are just better across the board. I know their defense is schemes are usually simple, so I do think Washington will put up some points, but ultimately I don't like Washington's defense last year and also the early parts of this year. They've been disappointing, so ultimately, kind of like what I told you with last week, the Eagles are just better, and I think they're going to take care of teams that they are just better than this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens later on with some better teams, quote unquote. But until then, I have them taking care of business this weekend.
Yeah, I love that headline. And that's kind of one of the main reasons I haven't really fully anointed or fell in love yet with my guy, Jalen Hurts. I will say he's grown on me. I always tell people I got a love-hate, a like-love type of relationship with him because I like him. I just don't love him yet, but he's definitely grown on me. But I want to see – when I look back at that Minnesota game, brother, Minnesota is soft as hell, bro, especially on defense as far as coverage-wise. We already know that corners may be arguably the worst. I love Pat P., Hall of Famer. He may need to retire. at corner. But yeah, they were playing a lot of soft shell coverage versus us, not sending much pressure. And then the Lions the week before, just not that very talented as a team. I do still need to see Jalen Hurts versus the likes of the LA Rams, the Bucks, just to see how he handles that type of talent and pressure. But as far as for this game, it's -6.5 Philly right now. I love the over-under in this game, too, brother. It's at 47.5. We've seen Washington. They have weapons on offense. We know at the end of the day, Wentz is a gunslinger. He will make a mistake or two and turn the football over, but he also can sling the football and get put points up on the board. Washington as a home dog, I believe, can cover the -6.5. Like I told you, man, if I have any complaints from my Eagles so far throughout the season, I'll say that our offense stalled out a little bit in the first half of the Lions game, and then our offense stalled out a little bit in the second half of the Vikings game, and then our defense just been a little inconsistent. Better from week one, to week two from week one, but I want to see consistency. So, yeah, this one is a tough one for me, man. I don't think we threw this on our Blazing 5, but I got Philly winning this game as well. I just can possibly see Washington covering, but, you know, I got my Eagles winning this game.
Last thing for me, I have the Eagles covering and covering big.
Got you. All right, let's move here. Last game, brother, and then we'll dive into some other stuff.
All right.
Give me a headline.
Sorry, my bad.
Headline. Buffalo. All right. Last game. Give me that headline. Buffalo at Miami.
No Finn good in Miami. I think Buffalo is just going to go in there. They're going to take care of business. I do think Miami will cover, but I think it'll be a backdoor cover. It's going to be a good matchup. I think this is my second favorite game of this entire week. It's going to be interesting to see how Buffalo covers those two weapons that are in Miami. I know the Bills are a well-oiled machine. One question that I do have with them is, can they win multiple ways? To me, they're kind of a knockout artist, and they were kind of that last year. They weren't great in a close game, so it's going to be interesting to see if Miami's offense can keep pace with them and really make this a close game. And if they can, that'll be a fun finish, but until I see that, I do think Josh Allen is just on another planet right now. And I do think that the Bills are going to go in there and get a win.
I love all your headlines. That was the weakest one. We got to come better than that. But I'll say this, brother. Buffalo, as far as reverting back to their offense, man, I will agree with that as far as them being a knockout artist. And that goes back to what I said last week on the podcast. Just because they're not committed to the run, man. I think last week, Devin Singletary only had like 19 carries. That's the reason why teams need to run the football. Playoff teams run the football. It helps you balance out the game, helps you control the ball, clock management, and it just helps you play a cleaner football game and balance out the football game. Buffalo loves to sling the ball. Kind of reminds you of 2-3 years ago with the Chiefs. The Chiefs, since they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, try to be a little more balanced, but we all know Andy still loves to throw the football. But Andy will run it, or at least utilize his running backs in the pass game. I don't really even see the running backs being used much in the pass game for Buffalo. So Buffalo is definitely going to have to come with a little bit more of a balanced attack. This game is tough for me. I believe I'm going to probably end up taking Buffalo midline. It's Buffalo on the road at Miami, so they're going to be down there in that heat. It's -5.5 Buffalo right now. I'm just scared, brother, because like you said, what are they going to do to cover those weapons for Miami? And Poyer might just ended up on the injury reserve or injury list yesterday for the Bills, the injury report. And then Hyde, I think, is already out, so they may be out both their safeties for this game, and that really scares me because I believe they play a rookie corner as well. So that scares me, man. Yeah, and then Miami's at home. Like I said, they can cover, but Tua is 0-3 versus the Bills and Josh Allen. So that's kind of the main reason why I got Buffalo midline. But yeah, this game is kind of tricky. I think we wanted to throw this on our Blazing 5, but we stayed away from it just because we got respect for how at least respect for those Miami weapons. But yeah. I don't believe Miami's defense can hold or stop Buffalo at the end of the day. So that's why I got Buffalo midline.
That sounds good to me. I don't disagree with anything right there. So that's all that I have.
Before we dive into another segment, let's just touch on that Thursday night game real quick. Last night's game, the Pittsburgh Steelers fall to the Cleveland Browns. I know the Browns got that cheap touchdown at the end. So what was the final? What, 31 or 30 to 17 or something like that?
Like something like that. Honestly, I didn't even see the final score.
It was a pretty ugly game. I thought it picked up a little bit throughout the game. I thought it was actually going to be an uglier game than that, like a 10-13 type game. We got a little more action. I will say this from that game. I already spoke on Nick Chubb. I believe he's the best pure runner in football right now. They definitely have the best dynamic duo right behind them. I believe it's probably A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. But I got to give nod to Hunt and Chubb right now. Yeah. I love the way Jacoby Brissett commanded the offense last night. He looked a lot more comfortable in his role and situation than Mitchell Trubisky. Brother, I'm telling you, and I've been telling you before the season, I'm going to tell y'all as each week after I see Trubisky and his terrible look and performance in the pocket, I'm going to say it again. They need to go with the young bull. They need to put him in now. I just do not like Trubisky, man. That's just me personally. But I believe Cleveland dominated this football game, especially offensively. I love the way Kevin Stefanski was mixing up the play action, dialing up the play action in the pass game with the run. He hit Cooper on a couple of deep bombs, Jacoby Brissett, that you could tell was schemed up. So shout out Kevin Stefanski, too.
I think you nailed pretty much everything for that game. I don't have much to add. The only thing that I will say is I don't look at the Steelers offense as a Mitchell Trubisky issue. Even if Kenny Pickett plays, and like in essence, when it comes to playing him, I do agree we're going to see him sooner rather than later. But if you're a Pittsburgh fan, you're going to run into the same issues. It might not be a quarterback thing. I think it's an offensive play calling standpoint. This is one thing that I've learned over.
Who's the OC? Is it Canada's over? It's Canada.
Yeah,
over
it is. Canada. It is. Part of it is just like what I've learned over the years. There has to be a rhyme or reason for why you're calling plays. You can't just call it because you think it's cool or that it'll work. To me, they don't always have a rhyme or reason for why they are calling things. So, and also their offensive line is still interesting. I know they did better last night, but I think part of that was also Clowney was out, and you only have to worry about Myles Garrett. So you pretty much hit on everything, but that was just my little last bit on this game.
I could see a little bit of scheme with a little bit of a scheme issue, but I don't really have a big problem with Matt Canada, the OC for Pittsburgh. It's kind of tough. We said it the other day. It's kind of tough to call the offense when your O-line isn't the best, right? I thought that the O-line actually did a solid job last night, though, to me, the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially in the run game early on. Najee was getting a good little push, just didn't really stay with it. But I think it's more of a Mitch issue just because, one, he's not super accurate, and two, it just seems like he's not comfortable in the pocket, brother. He's going to bail out the pocket. He made some good throws late in the game, late, like when they were down, you know, garbage time trying to drive back, where he stood in the pocket and delivered the football, hit Deontay Johnson on a few comebacks or whatever. But he's just not standing in the pocket and delivering the football enough for me and placing the football in the right spots. That one throw to Pickens, that was a nice, beautiful ball because he put it on the outside shoulder, gave the receiver his guy, the only guy that can get to the football, a chance to get that ball. Pickens made a great play. We're going to have to talk about that bull another time. But the reason we can't talk about a guy like Pickens, a stud like Claypool, who's another freak, Deontay Johnson, who clearly looks like a cemented wide receiver one, is because they don't have the quarterback back there pulling the trigger. I believe at the end of the day, of course, I'm not saying start Kenny Pickett. The first game he starts, he's throwing 40, 50 attempts. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I feel last night, Last night, maybe partially due because it was a windy game, and then you got Myles Garrett. You want to chip him and slow him down. But last night wasn't many five-step, three-step drops for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a lot of play action, boots. It's a lot of trying to move the pocket, get Trubisky out the pocket, get him where he's comfortable at. I don't think that's sustainable. Not with those weapons, man. You need to have a real drop-back passing game. You have the weapons for it. And I believe the young bull, Kenny Pickett, just gives them a better opportunity at that position, at least with pulling the trigger, brother.
Like I said, it's not that I disagree about Pickett. It's just I just think that they'll run into similar issues because of the play.
Gotcha. What about the team, though? After last night, do you not, if you're on that Pittsburgh roster with the team, do you not look around like he just doesn't give us the best chance to win type feel with Trubisky? Do you not have that feeling after that game?
I know it's easy to say that, but they have their chances to win. And even before Trubisky, when they still had Ben, and I know Ben was at the end, but even before Ben was hurt, their offense would stall in key situations, and a lot of that was play calling and not talent.
Gotcha. We'll move on. My last point on this Thursday night game. A lot of people said, how will the Pittsburgh Steelers generate pressure? You know, TJ Watt's out right now. The Bull, Alex Highsmith, is legit. He got 3 sacks week one versus the Bengals. I think he had like 2.5 or 3 sacks last night with like 8 tackles. I like that kid, linebacker number 56 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, let's see. All right, let's move on here, man. Got another segment here, something new this year that we also want to add. We want to talk about our Power 5 rankings as well. You know, everybody loves to rank these teams throughout the season. So this will be a week-to-week thing for us as well. It's fluid, you know. It will shuffle a little bit. Me and Keaton will give you our top five. Brother, you go through run through your five first. I'll run through my five, then we can discuss it, our five power ranking teams.
Okay, so I'm going to be going from five to one, so I'll be counting down. Number five. I got the Buccaneers, and the reason I have them five is because their offense is getting off to a slow start. Aside from that, I don't have many questions about their team. Four, I have the Chargers. I don't care that they have one loss. They are one of the four best teams that I've seen so far. I have the Eagles at three. I got the Bills at two, and I have Kansas City at one. The reason why I have the Chiefs over the Bills is because Kansas City has shown that they can win from multiple ways. They can come from behind, they can play with a lead, and they can also deliver a knockout. And like, I know these power rankings are only supposed to be for like this season, but Buffalo is just a knockout artist to this point. And also, until they can beat them in a big spot, I'm going to give Patrick and Andy the nod.
Yeah, I love your list. I believe we got 4 out of 5 the same. I'm going to push back on the Chargers, man, just because, yeah, the talent's there, but you add all that talent for teams specifically like the Chiefs in your division. You lose that game. Your quarterback's banged up, and then it wasn't the cleanest, most dominant performance versus the Raiders neither. So I'm iffy on the Chargers being in there, brother. Like I said, this is a week-to-week thing, right? This is our Power 5 ranking for week-to-week. I think it's pretty simple this week. That's why we did have 4 of the 5 same teams. But my five, I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Michelle Latua and company a little love there because they did beat Bill Belichick, and then they beat Baltimore Ravens in the crazy comeback. So I'm going to put the Dolphins at number 5. I got my Eagles number 4, man. Dominant performance last week versus the Vikings. They're 2-0. Self-explanatory. I think they're a top 5 football team. And they're super. I believe if Jalen Hurts keeps up the play that he's playing right now, they're in Super Bowl contention. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I got the Bucks number 3. I can see them being down a little bit for some of the same reasons you said, but I'm going to keep them right there at 3 just because I believe their defense is playing at an elite level, especially better than the Dolphins and my Eagles. And I love the way Todd Bowles has those guys flying around. I believe they will be playing better football by the end of the year. Hopefully they get more healthier too by the end of the year. But we all know Tom just likes to play his best football heading into the playoffs. So I got the Bucks being a better football team by the end of the year. Got them at 3. I'm going to put the Chiefs at 2, and I'm going to put the Bills at 1. Like I said, we said this is a week-to-week thing for this season. I'm going to just put the Bills right now. I do agree wholeheartedly with your point as far as the Bills have shown to be a knockout artist already in 2 weeks. The Chiefs showed us how explosive they can be, and then they showed us how they can dish out the football and win in multiple different ways. I agree with that. I'm just going to go right now because it's only 2 weeks into the season, and they're pouncing on teams and beating them down. I'm going to go with the Bills for right now at 1. But I do wholeheartedly agree with your point between those two teams, brother.
And also, last thing for me, actually, if this was a 10-team list, I would have Miami at 6.
Got you. All right. Before we end off with our Blazing 5 picks for the weekend, we're going to leave you with a Blazing 5. We, you know, me and brother, we always talk football, chop it up. And in the midst of our conversations, we always come across, you know, either great debates between us or just, you know, crazy topics that we just came up with out of nowhere. So I know the other day, me and brother was talking, kind of going back and forth. I don't know how we landed on this subject, but we were just talking about old backs, you know, old running backs from the 2000s that don't really get enough love. And I know I was mentioning Jamaal Charles as one of my guys. It's crazy, brother. After I did this list, I didn't even put him on my 5. It's crazy. I still love Jamaal Charles. But me and brother, we're about to give you this segment. We got our top 5 most underrated backs since the 2000s, right? Yeah. And like I said, I wanted to put Jamaal on there, brother, Jamaal Charles. But when I started looking back, from the 2000s on up, man, there's some other guys on there, man. So I even got a little honorable mention list, too. So I got my 5, and I got my little honorable mention. So do you want to go back and forth with our 5 first, our top 5?
Sure.
All right, let's start.
I want to mention this. I didn't put him on here just because I thought you were going to have him on because we, like, discussed him. So I would have put him on here.
Probably could slap him in there for an honorable mention.
Yeah, so and while my guy, yeah, so for me, I have Matt Forte. He was a really good player.
Yes.
He's one of those guys, kind of like what I was trying to say with my receiver rankings. He was just a guy that was in questionable situations. And he never was able to get the full credit for what he was doing with bad teams. He was so good, and he was so good for a stretch. I'm not saying he was ever the number one running back in football, but he was so much better, and he deserved so much more love than what he got during his career.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on Forte in a minute. He's my number 4, brother. I love that one. See, this is why I love my guy. We be on point, especially with the backs. Quick nugget for Forte. He's the only back to have more than 1K total yards in each of his first 9 seasons. I only believe he played 10. So 9 of his 10 seasons, he crossed that 1K threshold for total yards. Forte was a stud. My number 5, brother. Guess it's a little bit of some bias here, a little bit, because I actually, hold on, let me see. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he was my 5. Excuse me. Brian Westbrook, man. I got to put my guy, Brian Westbrook, on there. He was my favorite running back before Shady McCoy. That's how I fell in love with Shady, because Shady got the torch right after him. But he was a real dual threat running back, man. And he used him in the pass game as well. 9 seasons, over 10K yards and 71 touchdowns. He had 5 consecutive seasons of 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. So I got to go with my guy, B. Westbrook.
I mean, he was my 4, so I don't have much else to add. So
there you go. And then my 4 was Matt Forte. Like I said, I don't have much to add there. He had 14K yards, 74 touchdowns in 10 seasons, bro. In 10 seasons. So yeah, Matt Forte was a dude, man. Yeah, just play for a shitty ass team. And I think even that last year with the Jets, he wasn't even too bad with the Jets that last year. I think that was Rex Ryan's era when they had a solid defense and whatnot. Yeah, so he wasn't even too bad there. Who's your number 3, brother?
So for me, he gets love, so this is why this list was tough, because he does get love, but I don't think people really understood how good he was just because he was in Jacksonville. And I remember Maurice Jones-Drew.
Okay.
He was, I just think that people never really got to see him play. I think more so when people talk, it's like word of mouth and like some highlights here.
Like, you feel like if he was in the bigger media.
Yeah. I think people would really appreciate what he did a whole lot more.
Sure. No, he was a dog, man. MJD was probably one of the best ever when it comes to pass pro, too. Oh, he'll light your ass up. I love Maurice Jones-Drew. I got another Jacksonville Jaguar on my list. We'll get there in a second. I love that number three pick. Not going to argue with it. I got to look at his yards, though. I don't know if he had enough yards in his total yards in his career. What did he get? Did he give us 10 years? 9, 10 years? I'm going to have to look at that
one. I think he did, but I don't know what his yards are. I literally just go off of, like, what I saw. And every time I saw him play, I was like, wow.
This guy, I believe he got a little love as well. And he probably was, you know, in the upper echelon for backs during his time in the NFL. But I don't believe during his time in the NFL he was ever considered or looked at as, you know, the top guy or just clear cut number one. And so that's kind of why I still believe he's a little underrated. But I got to put my guy Ward Dunn in there, man. Oh, I love Ward Dunn's game, bro. Ward Dunn was nasty, quick, elusive. 15K, he gave us like 10, 12 years as well. Over 15K total yards and 64 touchdowns. I love Ward Dunn's game for the Atlanta Falcons. Excuse me. I got Ward Dunn as my number three.
I don't disagree. He was my honorable mention. I should have probably had him on here, honestly, because nobody mentions him. But yeah. My next guy on this list is Arian Foster.
That's another good one.
Yeah, because he was a dual threat guy, and he was with Andre Johnson down in Houston, just wasting away. I'm very upset with both of them for not asking out earlier, because just as a fan, I like seeing great players be on great teams and just get the most out of them. But yeah, I have him next on my list.
I like that one. No pushback here. I don't believe I had him on my list or my honorable mention, but that is a good one. Arian Foster, he was pretty good in his time in the league. My number two, I think, is a guy that's definitely slept on. And part of the same reasons you gave for MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, because he's in the small media market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steven Jackson was a dog. He was one of my favorite running backs. You know I love my big backs, brother.
Yeah.
Steven Jackson was a big boy that could move for the Rams. And I didn't know. I guess they drafted him either the year of or the year after the greatest show on turf. And they never knew that was about to fizzle out and he would be a part of a shitty-ass franchise for the rest of his career. But, yeah, he gave us 12 seasons, over 15K yards. I didn't realize he got that many yards. And 78 touchdowns. I think Steven Jackson, he was another back that had like 8 or 9 straight seasons of over 1,000 yards. Yeah, I was a very big Steven Jackson fan for the LA Rams, number 39, big boy.
Well, I cheated because I did – I have two guys at my one spot. Steven Jackson is one of them, but since you already mentioned him, I'm going to go to the other guy, Sean Alexander.
I forgot about Sean. I used to love Sean with Seattle.
Exactly. He was MVP of the league.
Yes.
Nobody mentions this man.
What, he had like 20-some touchdowns that year?
Yeah, he did. He was a dude, bro. I love
the way back as his quarterback. With Hasselbeck as his quarterback, getting it done.
He was the reason why I became a Seahawk fan. I just watched my TV and I was just like, bro, that is the coldest dude on the field at all times. So he's a league MVP that literally no one mentions. That's why I had to put him on here.
Hey man, I feel bad because I don't have him on my honorable mention or on my list, but that was a real good one, brother. I forgot all about Sean. Sean was one of my favorite players too. I think he was the reason I had y'all in that Super Bowl versus Pittsburgh, because I didn't really like Pittsburgh.
Same here.
And yeah, they had a rookie quarterback. I'm like, man, Sean just went crazy this year. I really thought y'all was going to win that Super Bowl. So yeah, I love Sean Alexander's game. My number one, he's getting the love now just because he's on a popular ass podcast, but I still believe throughout his career, he didn't get that love. My guy, Freddie T, man, 13 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
14K yards and 74 touchdowns. Like we said earlier, for Steven Jackson and MJD, just played for a shitty-ass franchise, not a big media market, didn't get a lot of national spotlight games. Freddie T is a dog. Let me run through my honorable mention real quick. I'm not sure if you got some, but some other guys I thought was real studs throughout their tenure in the league and through from the 2000s. Got to go Jamaal Charles, like we said. Clinton Portis was right there for me, brother. Right there. I was damn near going to throw my boy Clinton Portis on there. 9 seasons, 11K yards, and 80 touchdowns. Charlie Gardner was another one. He came in 94, but he lasted into the 2000s. 10K yards, 51 touchdowns, had 4 straight seasons of 1,400 yards. He had a 1,911 TD year and didn't make the Pro Bowl. Charlie Gardner was legit. Another one. And I remember how good this guy was during his time, brother. I didn't realize how many he put up this amount of yards. He was really good. D'Angelo Williams, 11-year career, over 10K yards and 70 touchdowns. He put up 20 TDs in 08. I forgot about that. He still didn't get a Pro Bowl. He didn't get a Pro Bowl nod that year, neither. And he ranks in the top 20 for career yards per carry. So D'Angelo Williams was a dog. My last three for honorable mention. Jamaal Lewis, man. I used to love Jamaal Lewis, a dog for the Baltimore Ravens. He rushed for over 1K in his first seven of his first 8 NFL seasons. So Jamaal Lewis is a dog. And then Ricky Williams and Thomas Jones. I loved Ricky, too. I really loved Ricky coming out of college. And Thomas Jones was just a slept-on back throughout his career.
I don't disagree with anyone, but I do think you're missing one guy. Just because I think his name and his legend is just tied to his 40 time. But Chris Johnson.
Oh, I thought Chris you were going to say 40. I thought you were going to say Frank Gore.
Oh, no. Like, I think Frank Gore, he gets the appropriate respect.
Yeah.
But Chris Johnson, I don't think people realize, like, how good he was, especially early on. I know he didn't have the exact longevity, but just, like, that period of time, that man was so damn good. And Tennessee didn't have a passing game either. He was so good.
Facts. Brother, you know, each generation, you always kind of got a guy that's a little bit ahead of his generation. I feel like Shady and Chris Johnson were those two backs from that to that 2010 era, like around that 2010 era, that could play in today's football and still be really elite and really good. I could see prime Shady and a prime Chris Johnson in today's football giving out crazy work.
Shade would probably be the best running back in football. Like, picture him in Andy Reid's offense.
Picture him in the Bills offense today. No, remember, he made Pro Bowls in the Bills with Rex Ryan and them, but that was a shitty offense. That was I formation run, because you know Rex Ryan line the ball up, run and play defense. Imagine Shady in this Bills offense with Josh
Forget
Allen.
That. Picture him in Andy's offense right now.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
And that with Patrick pulling it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's over. It's a wrap. It's over.
Let's finish off here, man. We might rename this segment just because me and brother want to give it a little flavor and make it our own shit. But now, we got 5 Blazing Lock picks for y'all for this weekend. Not sure what we going to do yet. I know me and brother eventually will probably go in every weekend on this ticket with our 5. But right now, these are our 5 locks. We came together and pieced these teams together, and we believe these are 5 betting locks for this weekend. All right?
Yeah.
First one, Cincinnati at the Jets. We got Cincinnati covering at -5.5. Right, brother?
Yeah, I was reluctant at first just because the Bengals are such a question mark. But ultimately, I don't think the Jets will be able to generate enough pressure to really take advantage of what Cincy doesn't do well right now. And also the fact that they lost to them last year, I don't think they're going to walk into that game sleeping. So I definitely think that they'll cover.
Yeah, we got Cincy covering. Another sleeper bet on that game, the over-under, it's at 45.5. The Jets, they lead the NFL right now in passing attempts. They got three guys, three weapons that can actually run routes and catch the football. So they could put up some points, and that total, that over-under total definitely can hit. I believe the over can hit there, 45.5. So that could be another play for that game. Our second pick, we got the Raiders going on the road at Tennessee. We got the Raiders covering the -1.5. Like we said earlier, we just believe they can't go down 0-3 in that division. They need to win badly. So we both agree that they cover in Tennessee.
Yeah. There's not much more to add. I already touched on this game earlier. I have them covering. I won't say big, but I do think that they'll cover and it'll be easily.
Got you. KC covering at Indy. I think this is really like our lock of the week. It's -5.5. We do. The one question mark I do have for this game, brother, I still need to see Kansas City do a little bit better job at stopping the run. I've seen a few explosive leaky plays here and there in the run game from Eckler and whoever they played week one. And, you know, they're going against Jonathan Taylor in that Colts offense. That Colts O-line doesn't look as stout as it has the last 2-3 years, though. I will say that.
They have Quentin Nelson, and that's it.
Yeah, they still got Quentin Nelson. But so I believe they could possibly run the ball. That should be their formula. Run the ball, keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline. And then I looked last week, man. I'm not sure how the game played out, flow of the game. I'm not sure if they probably got – I think they did get blown out, so they probably couldn't stay committed to the run. But I said it before the season started. If the Indianapolis Colts coaching staff do not give Jonathan Taylor at least 20 touches a game, they need to be fired, bro. They need to be fired. There's nobody else on that offense that's a legit threat. Pittman, I like Pittman Jr. He's hurt right now. And at the end of the day, I think he's more of a high-end wide receiver, too. I don't really think he's a one. We'll see.
No, he is.
It's no fucking excuse why Jonathan Taylor doesn't touch the ball 20 times a game. I don't give a damn if it's in the pass or run game. He needs to touch the ball 20 times a game.
Well, last thing on that, I think I've already mentioned this, but I think the Colts traded for the wrong quarterback.
And I said that before the season, man. You see how Carson looking over – Carson's in a better situation because he got weapons. So I'm not mad at Carson for leaving now that I look at it, because he's in a better situation with three legit wide receiver weapons. That's the Colts' fault. That's the Colts' fault. Matt Ryan looks over the hill. It's time to hang it up, big dog.
Yeah, that's – I mean, that's it. I mean, I think Kansas City is going to cover pretty easily. The Colts are – put it like this, Frank Wright is going to be on the hot seat after this game, because I think it's going to be very, very ugly.
And I don't think I had him on my hot seat before the season, but it's getting hot for my guy
Frank. I didn't either, but because I thought they'd be better, but yeah.
last two for our Blazing Five, Atlanta at Seattle. This was a good one for us as well. We both agreed. We think Seattle can cover here, man. I like Atlanta. I'm just not high on Mariota. I think Seattle can go in and win this football game. They're at home. Kyle Pitts still had their best weapon on offense, has not been involved or targeted at all for the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what's going on there. I love Seattle's defense, especially their red zone defense. They're still top elite in that category under Pete Carroll's stewardship. So I got Seattle. We got Seattle in that game.
I already mentioned this. Kyle Pitts is the best player on the field, but he's in a interesting situation right now, as I keep saying. But ultimately, I do think the Seahawks are going to win, because I do think that they're going to open up the passing game a little bit more. And it's ultimately because they have to. Your only blue chip talent on that team is at the wide receiver position. And there's no point in paying DK, Lockett, and all of these guys if you're not going to use them. DK is a deep threat. Just open up the passing game, and you'll win. It's just that simple. I know that they got AJ Terrell there, but he can't cover two guys. So whoever he's not on should be getting the rock, and I'll just leave it there.
Facts. And our last game, our last pick for our Blazing Five, I'm not gonna lie. I believe they can win, especially midline and shit cover too, because it's only -1.5. But brother did have to talk me into this one just because Russell has a winning record versus the Niners and Shanahan. I think he's like 17-4. But we got San Francisco going to Denver, and we got San Francisco covering the 1.5. I think they should win.
Yeah, I just think the Niners are going to be a well-oiled machine, and they're going to make quick work of Denver.
Yeah. That's week three for you, man. We got anything else, brother?
That's all that I got.
All right, hey, man, hope y'all go win some money out there. I know I hit the money dance a little bit last night off Prize Picks for Thursday Night Football. I can't wait for Sunday. Brother, you got fucked over, huh? You almost had another 1K?
Yeah,
Why didn't you take Hunt's receptions? You took his receiving yards or you took his total yards?
I took his receiving yards.
Oh, yeah.
He needed like two yards. He needed 2 yards.
Yeah, I took that receptions. I took the receptions with him. He got that shit. Let's have a good weekend, man. Let's hit the money dance this weekend.
All right. Brother. Let's get it. All right. All right. Later.
We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We trying to get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach. It's time to get back to the huddle.